You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning. Tony Cicada in for Mike Blewett with George Kurtz. As we get ready for two more teams making their way to their championships, the AFC and the NFC Championship. The first game on the agenda, the Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys, of course, followed up by the Kansas City Chiefs and the Pittsburgh Steelers tonight. We're getting ready for Fantasy Baseball 2017, and it's George Kurtz, Tony Cicada. We were talking about the NFC BC drafts and where the first round is going these days, and the first two picks in the draft have been Mike Trout and Mookie Betts. At number three is Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant had a phenomenal season, and Chris Bryant bringing dual eligibility into the mix with third base and outfield.
And that's always a bonus, right? I don't think that really determines that I'm going to move a player up my draft board. Maybe a tiebreaker, but I do like it because you want that positional flexibility on your roster, especially when injuries arise. Even more important if you're playing with a short bench. And I don't know about you, Tony, but I do play in some leagues where you only have three bench players, so that will come in handy.
Yes, absolutely will come in handy. Number four, this guy we talked about earlier, Jose Altuve. And then at five is the Colorado Rockies, Nolan Arenado, coming off 40 home run season, a 300 hitter that hits 40 home runs. Those are hard to come by.
Yeah, I can tell you in the mock draft we did yesterday, we had the same five players, not the same order, but the same five players went in the first five slots. I mean, we love Colorado. Arenado's a great player. Didn't get traded, not yet. Some people think that Colorado might end up moving him to start get other pieces they need there. But as long as he's in Colorado, he's going to put up big-time numbers.
Yeah, I don't think he'll ever be moved. I think Colorado Rockies, right or wrong, think that they can compete. Because they even talked about adding guys like Mark Trumbo. It doesn't seem like they're going out of the way to sell off pieces.
Where is Trumbo going to play?
I have no idea. I was mystified by the whole situation.
I mean, seriously, I can't find a spot for them. They have three outfielders already. You got Desmond at first base.
Well, they have four. Yeah, I was going to say they have four.
It doesn't make any sense. Last I heard, there's no DH in the National League. Can he catch? Maybe he can play catcher.
What about third base?
I think Arenado's going to play third.
He's actually, Nolan Arenado's probably the top defensive third baseman these days as well.
Right? I just don't see where he can, I just don't see where Trumbo fits here. And I've heard the same thing. I keep laughing. I'm like, where are you going to put this guy? You're going to pay
maybe
him $40 million to be a four? Yeah, that's what it comes down to. You can pay him $40 million to sit on the bench. He's going to be a glorified pinch hitter.
That's very sad. We can't have that. Glorified pinch hitter. What would be that's a lot of glory. Is there a lot of glory there?
Well, it would be in Colorado, right? Better chance for glory.
That's true. At number six is a guy I don't believe George Kurtz would pick here, is the Los Angeles Dodgers' Clayton Kershaw going number six overall. How do you feel about pitchers going as the sixth pick in a draft?
I don't mind it because after that, I sort of get iffy, too, about who should go next. I mean, do you want to take Goldschmidt next? I probably would go there. I think I would take Goldschmidt sixth, and then that's probably where I'm looking at Kershaw shortly thereafter. I don't mind it, Tony. I've changed my thinking of this. I think you and I have talked about this before. You know, five, six, 7 years ago, I'm loading up on hitters, no doubt. But over the past couple of years, I think, my first five picks, I'm probably going to have two starting pitchers in there. You know, in this mock draft, I did take a starting pitcher in the second round, not the first round. So I've changed my thinking over the years because of the domination of starting pitching. You have to have them, or else you're not going to win.
And I think what people don't realize, like people will always say, you can wait on pitching. And you can wait, and you'll have a middle-of-the-road pitching staff because the drop-off from elite starting pitching to good starting pitching is huge. And I think that you got to get two of those elite guys.
I agree. It's changed. I don't know what it's changed. I mean, pitching is deep, all right? And that's very true. So, yes, you could say that, you can wait on pitching, and I'll still get five good ones. Yes, you probably will. But what about the guy who has five, you know, not only does he have five good ones, but he has two aces. You just have five number twos and threes. He has two number ones, a number two, and two number threes. You're going to lose those categories. You know, that's the problem there. Hitting is also not as deep, but you can sort of finagle that to get speed guys, which you can get late in your draft, and they might help you with runs as well. It's, you can't do the same thing with pitching. That's why I've just changed my thinking here. It used to be, you know, I might take one starting pitcher in the first five, six rounds. Now I know I'll have two in the first five and probably one in the first two.
One in the first two for George Kurtz, of course. He answers all the questions in the Roto Experts answer queue. So ask a question, and you could, too, get an answer from George Kurtz. George, do people get starstruck when they say, oh, my God, George Kurtz is the guy answering my questions?
Oh, God, I hope not. I think, you know, listen, I enjoy answering the question. I don't mind talking to everybody. I think I'm more correct than anybody else, but I do think what makes me probably more popular is I tend to explain my answers of why I came to this conclusion. This way, hey, if you don't agree with my analysis, you know what, then go in the other direction. But you'll know where my thinking is, why I picked what I did. I don't just go, hey, should I start player A, player B? Player A, and hang up, and they'll click send. I'll explain to you why I chose player A over player B.
Number seven is Paul Goldsmith. The one thing that's a little worrisome, Goldsmith, an amazing year with stolen bases, but the power numbers have gone down dramatically the last two seasons.
That is a concern, especially in Arizona where the ball flies out of
there.
You know, what happened? I agree. And the power number, the speed numbers picked up, would sort of make us, I guess, I don't want to say forget about this, but overshadowed that he lost power. I'm going to go look at it more as a one-year thing, not a big deal. And I'm still going to take him. I'm going to believe. But I'd be lying, Tony, if I said it isn't in the back of my mind that what happened here?
Yeah, third base, another guy with dual position eligibility. He's the Baltimore Orioles third baseman, shortstop Manny Machado, going number eight overall.
That's where I have him as well. And I had the 11th pick overall, and I was hoping he would fall to me at 11. Alas, he did not.
Oh, were you sad?
I was sad because I was four picks away, and I had three guys I wanted, and all three guys I wanted went bang, 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 so I didn't get who I wanted. That's what makes me sad.
Very sad. Very, very sad day. At number nine is a guy that had a dismal season last year. Do you think he rebounds? That's Washington National outfielder Bryce Harper.
Yeah, there's this mock draft, but the same way as the NFBC. Harper also went next year. He was also a guy I wanted. I figured at 11, I'll take my chance that he rebounds. Had the shoulder injury last year. At least we think he did, so that zaps of his power. I mean, the Nationals, excuse me, are trying to load up around him, as they know Harper's going to be a New York Yankee in 2019. So maybe this is the year, but that ballpark is always going to slow him down somewhat.
It'll definitely slow him down. We move on to the 10th pick in the draft, and that's another third baseman, Josh Donaldson of the Toronto Blue Jays.
Okay, Donaldson went 11 to me, actually, here. Rizzo went before him. Donaldson, I mean, once again, I guess you said it earlier, but no Encarnacion, maybe no Bautista. That lineup may not be the same, although the ballpark will be.
At number 11 was the Washington Nationals' Max Scherzer. As he goes number 11, that's two pitches picked in the first 11 picks.
I said it earlier. I was debating at number 11 to take Scherzer. You know, because I wanted a top-notch starter. I thought about this for a little while here. Do I take Scherzer? Do I go with the best offensive player I have on the board? I ended up going with Donaldson over Scherzer because I did – it's a 15-team league. So I knew I was going in seven or eight more picks, and there were three starting pitchers that I was willing to live with at that pick. And I assumed I would get one of them. So I took Donaldson here.
Josh Donaldson there. And then at number 12 goes Anthony Rizzo, as you mentioned. But at number 13 is the guy that's being most talked about in the first round. That is the Washington Nationals youngster, the second baseman / outfielder, Trey Turner.
You know, I get it. But I'm a conservative drafter, Tony. And, you know, I want to see him do it again before I pick that high a pick. In my first couple of picks, I want to know what the guy's going to do. You know, I want to know that he's going to hit 32 home runs, driving 100 runs, and, you know, whatever. And Turner, I don't know yet. I don't have anything against him, But I can't – on that pick, I just can't pull the trigger. Didn't we have Carlos Correa up so high last year because we thought the same thing, and that didn't work out? And that's going to keep replaying in the back of my head. I'm going to go a more conservative route. I'm not going to make fun or yell at anybody who takes him, but I know I'm not going to make that pick.
You're not going to pick it, so you're going to let maybe 50 stolen bases get away?
Yeah, I'm not going to take him at 13th. I mean, if he falls a little further, you might take a bottom of the second round, 10 picks later, I'll be much more inclined. But until then, I'm going to take somebody else there, maybe a Miguel Cabrera, Scherzer if he was there, Blackman for the outfield, so we start so many outfielders. I'm just going to go in a different direction.
At number 14 is old reliable Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah, and that's like I said, he just does the same thing every year. If he stays healthy, the numbers are there, and he's generally a healthy guy. I know he had one year with injuries, but other than that, he's 34 years old. The numbers are always the same. When I say conservative, somebody I can rely on, it's pretty much a picture of Miguel Cabrera. I know what I'm going to get. It's a safe pick. I like safe picks in the early drafts.
Now, when you say safe pick, what determines what is a safe pick as opposed to a risky proposition?
Well, it's what we talked about earlier. Right, I want to be able to pencil a guy in for a certain amount of points. You know, a certain amount of home runs, certain amount of RBIs, and start crossing that off my list of what I need. Miguel Cabrera, I know that. I can see his numbers forever and know around what he's going to do. A Trey Turner, I'm guessing still. You know, he's only played, 4 months. Maybe he puts up those numbers again. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't make the adjustment in his sophomore season. Maybe when teams have had a whole offseason to find his weaknesses, they'll pound. For instance, maybe they know he can't hit the inside fastball. And maybe it takes about a month or two to adjust to that. Right? That's what will worry me about Trey Turner. I understand it's probably, seeing things in a different kind of light maybe that I shouldn't, overthinking things maybe. But we have seen this before. Carlos Correa didn't make those adjustments for a while last season. And that ended up hurting him. People took him, 6th overall or 8th overall last season? And that, to me, I thought that was crazy. I understand there'll be years I'm going to be wrong. Maybe Trey Turner goes bananas this year, has no problem from day one, and I'll be wrong. But you know what, Tony? If I'm wrong, fine. I can live with that. Miguel Cabrera, I don't think I'll be wrong. The odds are better for me there.
George Kurtz, a guy absolutely getting it done. And, of course, we're helping you get it done. Fantasy Baseball 2017. After him is the last pick of the first round, and it's the third pitcher. So three pitches going round one. Madison Bumgarner, the San Francisco Giants.
Yes, he was the next pitcher I was eyeing at the Scherzer. I did not get him. Unfortunately, Scott Engel stole him before me. You might worry a little bit, Bumgarner. A lot of innings he's piling up there, but he was definitely the pitcher I wanted after Scherzer. But alas, Scott stole him.
Really? Scotty,
how dare he?
Scotty, he's making it happen.
He does make it happen. I'm a little surprised, though, that he didn't go with one of his New York Mets, but maybe he was doing... let's not take a Met here since I don't want to get screwed twice. You have the Mets lose and my fantasy team lose as well.
He likes those Mets.
He does like his Mets.
And he likes his Seahawks.
Makes you wonder which one he likes more.
That's true. That's true. We're going to get it done. And you're going to get it done listening to us. We're going to talk about the second round now. And, George, I bet we'll see some differences in the second round than the Roto Experts' second round of the draft.
I don't know about that. The players I'm looking at, you're probably right, though. It certainly won't be anywhere near the order of the first round. But there was a pitching run in the second round here.
Oh, we'll see if a pitching run is happening in the NFBC. Stay tuned for more Roto Experts in the Morning. George Kurtz, Tony Scott will be back after this. Good morning. Welcome to Roto Experts of the Morning with George Kurtz, Tony Sakata. Break it down. Fantasy Baseball 2017. And, of course, today you'll be able to watch some football with the Cowboys and the Packers, followed up by the Kansas City Chiefs and the Pittsburgh Steelers. It could be one of those games that'll be on NFL films forever.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think I'm looking at a stat now. There have been actually eight NFL playoff games in a row decided by double digits. So we're on a little bit of a bad run here.
Really?
Just looking at the stats, Tony. Just telling you the stats.
The stats. How about popcorn? Do you have any popcorn? That makes everything better.
I mean, are you a huge popcorn fan? I mean, it gets stuck on your teeth. And, you know, my niece, she works at a movie theater, and she tells stories about popcorn, about how much butter. You think Roman noodles are bad? You want to hear a story she tells about how much butter. People like to load it with butter. They want butter on the side. What, you want to dip your popcorn in butter, too? Oh, come on.
That would be crazy, right? If you ordered popcorn and asked for a side of that greasy yellow stuff.
They do. People do. No joke. She's telling me stories about this.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy, right?
Oh, I mean, what is it? Is it honey mustard? It's, oh, God, gross.
I always get, George, I don't get the butter on it. I like the popcorn, though.
I mean, I don't mind it. If it's there, I'm going to eat it, of course, but I prefer chips.
What about peanuts?
They're a little too dry for me, peanuts. You know what? So you got to suck down a gallon of soda, too, when you're at the movie theater then, or at the ballpark.
Yeah, you can get a refill if you get the bigger size.
Well, hence the niece works at the movie theater. I'll get a refill no matter what size I order.
Really?
Yeah, see, it's good to have family connections like this. But plus, a good friend of mine owns that movie theater, so it doesn't matter anyway.
Really? So you have relatives that work at the movie theater. You have a friend that owns the movie theater. You should have all the kids' birthday parties at the movie theater.
Funny you should mention that, Tony. That's where my daughter's birthday party was.
What movie did you guys see?
Oh, I don't know. One of the kid movies. You're asking the wrong person. I didn't watch it. I went home for an hour.
Really? You missed the movie, George. What the hell happened to you?
Oh, come on. Like, you were going to sit through some cartoon?
I've gone through all the, like, I've seen all the Shreks. I've seen every kid's. Like, I haven't seen many adult movies lately.
I haven't seen Star Wars yet. I'm going to see that next weekend.
Oh, I did go. Me and my son. See, my kids are older now. Me and my son actually went last weekend to Star Wars.
I'm a Star Wars guy. I want to see it, but December is the month from hell for us. We have birthdays, you got Christmas, New Year's, and then last weekend my brother had a wedding on Saturday. This weekend my wife had to work, so we're going to go see it next weekend. We finally have a Saturday free. Can't go on Sunday because that's football.
Football, you can't get in the way of football, right?
I don't go to weddings. If you die, I'm not going to your wake or funeral on a Sunday. You're on your own there.
That's why people should be cremated, and they should send you a necklace.
How about a little pendant? Is that what you talk about, a little pendant I got to wear now?
Yeah, I think it would be cool. You can wear a little pendant.
It would be, isn't that like Billy Joe, Jim Bob Thornton, who wore Angela Jolie's vial of blood around him?
Oh, yeah, that was Billy Bob Thornton.
I mean, oh, my gosh, and so now I'm going to wear ashes.
He was bad Santa.
He was bad Santa. Although, you know what? I didn't really like that movie. I thought that movie had much, much more potential.
The first one I liked. I didn't see the second one yet.
I didn't see the second one. I just thought the first one, you just could have gone really overboard with the bad Santa. Just gone nuts. And I think it would have been great. I thought it was, I guess I was disappointed.
Really?
Like I said, bad Santa. Let this go. I can think of all the things you could have Santa do. I just thought they could have done more. And I think, in general, I think comedies nowadays, just as much as we've come a long way, I mean, you mentioned, like, the Newlywed Game, you can't say whoopee and all this other stuff in the 70s. But comedy, in my mind, was still much more funny in the 70s and 80s than it is nowadays.
Oh, George. George wants to go old school with the comedy.
I mean, you think about the old movies, Airplane, Caddyshack, movies that I just died from. You know, I wasn't a big fan, was it, that Hangover or whatever it was. I didn't think that was as funny as people made it out to be. I don't know. I just don't think they're as funny nowadays as people make it out. I think we're just desperate for comedy.
What about Meatballs?
All right, Meatballs is a great flick, too. I mean, that was funny stuff. And you think, and nowadays where everything's, you can do anything you want with anything. Everything's open now. There's nothing taboo anymore. Yet, it's not as funny.
Oh, yeah. And what about Stripes?
Stripes, another great one. It's actually strikes as one of my favorite ones when you think about Bill Murray. Bill Murray's fantastic. Complete nut job. But you know, even on TV shows, what Married with Children was great in the 80s. All right, Two and a Half Men was fantastic with Charlie Sheen. That certainly pushed the boundaries. But other than that, nothing really makes me drop dead laugh anymore.
No, no. Yeah, the world is a changing place. And everything is immediate gratification, right? Everybody wants a quick, easy, and people don't work at it. In fact, we got a new 24 coming out. Did you ever watch 24?
Well, it's probably my favorite show ever. Oh, a big now, Jack Bauer guy. Damn it!
It's a different Jack Bauer now.
Well, it's not Jack Bauer. It's I forget the character's name in the show, but I'm going to watch, Tony, but you know, we've seen this before. It's so tough to do this and make it work. I'm still annoyed as a 24 fan that Jack is still technically captured by the Russians. You know, I want Jack to be free.
Oh, that's that. Yeah, but he's friends with Trump, so he might let him out now.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Maybe they'll let him go here. Yeah. But that still bothers me. Honestly, I'm going to watch. I think it's on after the Super Bowl. I will certainly give it a shot. I hope it's good. All I know is, are you a 24 guy, Tony? Have you watched 24?
Oh, yeah. That's one of the only shows that I've watched every episode.
Whoever
I
works.
In fact, there's only two of them, I think. That and The Sopranos.
Sopranos is great as well. But whoever works in the personnel department of CTU really should be fired. I mean, really? Can you stop hiring moles? I mean, are we doing any kind of background check? I mean, any kind of mole?
No. It doesn't seem like it, right? We still have every day. There's a crisis there.
I mean, yes, a lot of bad shit happening in the world too. Which is that happens. You know, I get it. Maybe it's happening nowadays in real life. You know, you got a Jack Bauer running around saving the day before we all blow up. You know, I get it. But it seems like, you know, when you have that application, that question says, are you a mole? If they check it yes, probably don't want to hire that person.
No, you can't hire that person. What do you want to do? You want to fire them?
Well, I think maybe you just disqualify them. You know, sorry, Mr. Mole, we've gone in a different direction. We found a candidate that better suits our needs.
NFBC, the first pick in the second round, is Charlie Blackman, who put together a nice season. But the one concern I have with Charlie Blackman, and I don't think I'd pick him this early, is that his foot's been hurting him the last two seasons, and the stolen bases could be in jeopardy. And I think it really hurts the value of Mr. Charlie Blackman.
I would agree. I agree with you there. And for some reason, he worries me a little bit. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the injury. Maybe it's the fact that I don't quite equate him with star status yet. Maybe it's the Colorado Coors Field effects there. But I don't have trust for him. He went at 17th overall pick in the mock draft, so same right around the same area. I don't mind taking him, though, because, once again, five outfielders start in most leagues. You know, if you're playing in a 15-team league, which this one is, that's 75 outfielders to start. So that's a lot. You're going to need outfield. You're going to need depth at that. So I don't mind the pick, but he does scare me a little bit, but so does everybody else after this.
The next up is got to be a guy that was a huge disappointment last season, but still people believe it in him. That's the Houston Astros shortstop, Carlos Correa, going at number 17.
Same thing. He went 18 here. He was somebody I was looking at. I'm sorry, Carlos Correa. My mistake. I was looking at Corey Seager. Carlos Correa went 14. I like him for the position. I like for the numbers he's going to put up. Sure, he might move offshore shortstop eventually, but it's not this year. He has the eligibility. We'll have it next year also. So I like him. Might worry a little bit. Once again, didn't have the year last year that I thought he was going to have, but it was good enough. And I think he'll be better this year. I think this year could be the year he is an MVP candidate.
18 is Corey Seager, and 19 is Jonathan Villar, who's third base shortstop eligible. So three shortstops in a row go off in the second round. At 17, Carlos Correa, 18, Corey Seager, and 19, Jonathan Villar.
Jonathan Villar, I think he's the interesting one, right? I mean, how much do we trust him after 1 year? He's the kind of guy I like to call a one-year wonder. Do it again, I'll believe. Right now, I'm not so sure I do. And I can tell you right now, through 26 picks, he is still available.
He is available, and you're available, I'm available, and people can give us a call, 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879, or hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio is the way to go, FNTSY Radio. Sounds so good, right?
It does. It has a nice flow to it. It does have a nice flow.
It does have a very distinguishable flow to it. After 19, number 20 is Chris Sale. And a little bit of run on pitches happens here. At 21 is Noah Syndergaard, 22 Encarnacion, 23 Corey Kluber. So Sale at 20, Syndergaard at 21, and Kluber 23. To tell you the truth, I would go the other order. I would go Kluber, Syndergaard, Sale.
The league, I took Syndergaard over Kluber. For me, it comes down to the American League, National League thing. I'll take Syndergaard.
I can see that.
Yeah, and you're facing the pitcher. You're facing weaker lineups, and Citi Field's a good pitcher's ballpark there. I agree with you about Sale. Love Sale. But, you know, Boston, those numbers are, you know, the ERA and whip. We're going to sometimes take a little hit there pitching in Boston. Then again, he pitched in Chicago. That was another bam box. So maybe it doesn't. I don't mind Sale, but I would have put it behind those guys as well. And in this league, he is still available, and we are through 26 picks.
He is through 26 picks, and it'll be interesting to see how much further they let him go. In between those picks was Edwin Encarnacion at number 22. What is his value now going from Toronto to Cleveland?
I don't think it changes all that much. Sure, Toronto's one, maybe the best hitting ballpark in the American League. Certainly one of the top three as far as overall there. He's going to strike out a lot. So if you're in a points league, yeah, you're going to lose some points there. If you're, you know, that's generally minus one first strikeout, you're probably looking at 160 strikeouts. But I still see 30 to 35 bombs coming. Yeah, could he approach 40? Wouldn't shock me. It's still a very good team around him. So I'm not all that concerned about Encarnacion, except for strikeouts.
Except for strikeouts. And in points leagues, those negatives for strikeouts could come into play. How does that change your attributes when you look at a draft, when you're playing a points-type variety that subtracts for strikeouts?
Well, it has to change things, right? I mean, you have to look at the guys who are going to strike out. In this day and age, no one cares about strikeouts anymore, at least not as much as they should. They're all looking for the home run. No one chokes up with two strikes. It's a rarity. They're all still swinging hard. It's just the way the game is played nowadays. A lot of people look at it, an out is an out. A strikeout or a ground out or a fly out doesn't matter. I don't agree with that because obviously you're not going to run you're not going to move any base runners up. You're not going to take a chance that a fielder makes a misplay if you're striking out, but the players generally don't. But you have to take it into effect, Tony, because you just do the simple math. And Encarnacion, like I said, he's going to strike out 170 times, where another player who's maybe even with that player might strike out 80 times. That's almost 100-point difference there. That's huge. So, yes, I think it does have to come into effect here.
There you go. It's coming into effect. We're going to take a little break. Then we'll come back and we'll finish off the second round. We got a guy up next that can steal you 50 bases. Stay tuned for more from the Roto Experts. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning. George Kurtz, Tony Cicada here on a Sunday morning. George Kurtz, the next guy up, Starling Marte of the Pittsburgh Pirates, who got off to an amazing start last season, but the power numbers went down a little, but the stolen bases were up, and we're talking about a guy that hits for a good average at Starling Marte.
Yes, but the power numbers really plunged. I mean, that's not good. That's not good at all. You need some power here, right? Second-round pick. I mean, he's sort of in some ways what we thought maybe Altuve would be, right? High speed, good average, power questionable. Why did it go down? Is it all he was banged up a couple times last year. Did he have a wrist injury where the power wasn't there? Is it all because of the ballpark? You know, as much as I love the field, it's a beautiful ballpark. Not conducive to hitting home runs, so I wonder if that's an issue there.
No.
So I have to say I'm a little worried here, but I do like him.
You know what I like? I like ice cream.
What flavor ice cream?
That's a good question. I think, you know what, if you had to stick me in one flavor, I'd probably go pretty old school and go chocolate chip.
I don't mind. Are we talking chocolate chip or regular chocolate chip?
No, regular chocolate chip.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. I'm a cookies and cream guy, which is sort of similar with a little cookies there. But I love Haagen-Dazs cookies and cream. Oh, my God.
You must be affluent that you do Haagen-Dazs.
Haagen-Dazs, I mean, if you get straight vanilla, that is like a drug.
Really?
Oh, I mean, oh my! I love Häagen-Dazs vanilla. It's expensive, but my God, that is like that is just such. Oh, I want it right now. God.
Do you think with the with 183,000 people in the New York area homeless, that you should be eating Häagen-Dazs?
Well, I don't have any in the fridge, freezer. So
nope.
I'm not gonna have any today. I'm not gonna stop. I said I want some. Didn't say I'm gonna have it.
My answer to everything in my house with the kids when they is that people are starving in Ethiopia is my answer to everything.
Yeah, it's funny you should have bring that up. Now my kids are younger than yours. I have a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old. I had to think there for a second. And you know, one of those things you hang on a door. That, you know, I'm sleeping, not sleeping. My youngest one has one of those, and she loves it. It's an emoji thing. And my younger one has a tendency to sleep with the older one. I don't know why. They both have the same rooms, but whatever. And she hung it on the door, and I guess when the older one closed the door, it got caught in the door jam, so it got that little bend in it, and my younger one had a heart attack. You know, she's all upset. And the older one wrote her a note saying she was sorry, Madison's the younger one. But Madison, you should be happy because people in other countries don't have what you have. So that's what reminded me of that. My 10-year-old would point this out.
See, you must have taught him something good, George. You must be doing it okay.
You know, I guess the she's not paying attention to the batting average on balls in play.
Really?
Yeah, it's a shame.
Now, would you
no saber metrics.
Would you like your daughter to be very good on XFIP?
You know, I think it teaches you math, right? Lord knows it's better than the Common Core crap they're learning nowadays.
That's right. So we're going to fix it. We're going to make America great again by teaching people batted balls and play.
That's right. Teach them sabermetrics and how to play poker. It's all about math and percentages.
Really?
That's how I'm going to justify it.
What do you think about the inauguration coming up this week? Are you excited about it?
No, I'm not a political guy, Tony. I don't. I know it's the 20th, 21st. I won't watch
the 20th, it. 20th, I think. No.
I'll treat that like it would a college football game. Won't watch. I'll be watching hockey.
Really?
Oh, is it a daytime thing? Oh, then I'll be doing something else.
What will you do?
It's around 1 o'clock. I'll be doing old school fantasy.
Or you'll be answering questions in the queue.
That's right. I'll be working, Tony, okay? Some of us have a job to do. You know, I got to write. I got to answer questions. I got to do old school fantasy. I'll be working to help America.
That's it. George Kurtz absolutely getting it done. Back to the NFBC draft. Estela Marte was going at 24. 25 was Freddie Freeman. And a first baseman followed him at 26, Joey Votto. Freddie Freeman actually surprised a lot of people last year. He had a big season, and Joey Votto seems to be pretty consistent the last few seasons.
Yeah, Freeman had a huge second half. First half, he was still struggling somewhat. He had the wrist injuries, I believe, coming out of spring training, so we were a little concerned there, and then he just went nuts. I mean, really, it just went off in the second half. He had 34 home runs, only 91 ribbies, not a lot of base runners on in front of him, batted .302. Are you concerned at all, when you think of your Braves, about the new ballpark? We don't know how this new ballpark's going to play yet.
No, we don't. And am I concerned? No. But I guess you got to see it. Because the reason I wouldn't be concerned is Atlanta was a pitcher's ballpark before. So
right.
Unless it goes, like, really bad, I don't know. You know what's weird, though? If you didn't watch baseball, how would you know that Morgan Freeman and Freddie Freeman were not related?
This is true, right? So baseball helps you out with these things, but, you know, life issues here. Tell me you don't have a Morgan Freeman thing going through your head right now, though, like his voice.
Oh, Morgan Freeman, man, he's all over the place. He's like in every movie.
He's becoming like the new, Donald Sutherland, who's also was in every flick, it seemed like, for a while.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman, guys, absolutely getting it done. And no relation to Freddie Freeman. For the people out there, you're just going to have to trust me. Xander Bogaerts at number 27. Brian Dozier at 28. Francisco Lindor at 29. And then 30 is Trevor Story, who had a great start to the season. He struck a lot, but hit a lot of home runs and then got hurt. What's your thoughts on Story being picked number 30 overall?
Stay healthy. I think everything's legit there as long as he stays healthy. Once again, if you're in a points league, you're going to pay for it with the strikeouts. But other than that, he's going to hit 30-plus home runs. That whole lineup is going to mash. And they're going to score a gazillion runs. If they can pitch at all, they will be somewhat of a threat. But we know they won't be able to pitch. I don't care how many hard throwers they got there. But I like Story. He's going to play short. I think he's going to hit, let's say, over 30 home runs. I think he'll drive in his share of runs. I wonder what the batting order will be. A lot of good hitters there. So that's somewhat of a concern. What if he's batting sixth or seventh, which wouldn't shock me because of the strikeouts. That's why he gets he moved down there. So that could lower some expectations. They'll lose some at-bats. Over the course of a year, he'd lose about 60 to 70 at-bats. And also, the lower you get, they might pitch around you.
They might pitch around you, and we can't have people being pitched around because this is the Roto Experts in the Morning, where you get into the box and you stand there and you swing the bat like a man. That's how you have to do it. You can't just get pitched around on the Roto Experts in the Morning, because we even have fake guys like Michael Waterloo, who's not real. He's Scott Angle. Don't let him fool you.
Wouldn't it be nice if Michael Waterloo was actually listening to the show and called in to prove who he was? Because that wouldn't even really prove it. Could be anybody calling in to say they're Michael Waterloo.
He's going to need DNA.
I need ID. I need at least three forms of ID. I need a driver's license, a passport, maybe a major credit card.
That's it. Number 31 is Robinson Cano. Then 32, the fourth pitcher off the board, Jake Arrieta of the Chicago Cubs. Now, Arrieta's crazy because he the second half of the season, he didn't pitch as well this season. What's your expectations for Arrieta?
Yeah, I'm a little worried here. He has a lot of mechanical issues, right? So if those mechanics aren't perfect, he's going to have some problems. He's going to have some issues. So that's my worry about Arrieta. That being said, I mean, I think this is his walk year, so he'll have incentive. Pitches for a great team. I don't think the Cubs are going to get any worse this year. I think they're going to win that division again, maybe win 100 games again. That's a lot of W's coming. We could say you can't chase wins. It's still a category. You still have to look at it. I prefer quality starts, but most leagues are going to have W's. So I'm going to be on board with Arrieta, but I like where he's gone in your league. I don't think he's been drafted in the mock draft yet. I think he's top 10, but closer to the bottom half of that top 10.
Closer. Moving on in the draft is a guy that was the MVP of the league, arguably, until the end of the season, is Daniel Murphy. And Daniel Murphy, the Washington Nationals, going number 33 overall as first and second base eligibility. Can Dan the Man absolutely continue his abolishing National League pitchers? Because I'll tell you what, this guy with the Mets was a 300 hitter, but didn't have power, hit 10, 12 home runs. What the hell happened here?
I think that's a fair question. Mets might want to know the answer to that as well. They probably would have signed him if they would have known this. Maybe not. His issues were always more of a defensive side of the ball. Listen, he was an MVP candidate for a long period of last season. No one saw this coming. He was always what I would like to call a professional hitter. You know, and what I mean by that is, doesn't necessarily try to pull everything or hit a home run every pitch. He hit it where it was. Had no problem hitting the ball in left center field, right center field, used the gaps, was a doubles hitter. Last year, the power cut came. Now, maybe it's just because more experience. You know, just more experience, and he learned how to pull pitches. We've seen this before, so maybe that could be it. Ballparks are pretty much the same as far as both pitchers' parks. But I got to tell you, Tony, I'm going to be a little nervous taking him. He said 33 overall, so that's the bottom of a third round in a 12-team league. I'm going to be a little nervous taking him there. I do have some doubts.
Doubts. We got doubts. We can't have doubts when we make our selections early in the draft. We've got to be on the money, so we'll let you know which guys that we're concerned about. And up next at 34 is A.J. Pollock of the Arizona Diamondbacks, 35, George Springer, Buster Posey, 36, and 37, a guy that had a monster year, Rough Ned Odor.
You know, hey, I'm not taking a catcher. I think anybody who listens to me or reads me or anything, I hate catchers. Buster Posey's great, Hall of Famer, blah, 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 but I'm not taking a catcher anywhere near this early. They just get beat up too much. They don't play many games. They're going to get one day off a week. That's already 26 games you're going to have down. You know, if they get injured, they get hit with foul tips, they get hit with bats, they get hit with base runners, they get a squat 1,000 times, no thank you. You know, I'll say it over and over again, no thank you. I'm just not taking a catcher anywhere near this early. I'll wait 6, 7, 8 rounds later.
Are you a guy that would consider drafting your last two picks as catchers?
I've done that. You know, Tony, I've been in leagues with two catchers. Generally, my second catcher is a zero. And what I mean by that is it may not even be somebody on a major league roster. I don't want to take some bum who's going to kill my average just for 10 home runs. So I might take somebody, a hot minor league catcher, a guy who might get called up. Like, I had Wilson Contreras on a couple of my teams the year before last. If he gets called up, great. If not, it doesn't hurt me. I can survive without a second catcher. Yes, I'll lose some counting stats, but he's not going to kill my average. You know, something like that. I'll do that quite often in the league, and I've had some success with it. It's a gamble. You know, I really do need that catcher to be called up at some point. I got lucky with Contreras. He did, and he did some damage here. But in most leagues, I want my one catcher to survive. Maybe I'll get lucky, and I'll have two catchers that I can live with. But generally, since I wait so long on catchers, that I'm not against what you just said. Last two picks before the generally before the bench starts will be my catchers.
You're listening to the Roto Experts in the Morning with George Kurtz, Tony Scotta. George, if you go into a coffee shop and there's milk out there to pour in the coffee, and you don't order coffee and you just drink the milk, would that be stealing?
You know, I don't drink coffee, so I wouldn't do that. But that being said, there have been times where I've gone into one of those things and maybe had some cookies, and I like milk with my cookies. And yes, I poured the milk. I had a full glass of milk, and it doesn't bother me in the least.
That's right. It's there for you, right? To use it the way you see fit.
Listen, I bought something at the store. Granted, it wasn't coffee, but I bought something at the store. You can put milk in the coffee, which you bought at the store. Why can't I have a glass of milk, which I bought for my cookies?
Oh, there you go. It's all about the cookie.
I love cookies, man. Little chocolate chip cookies with milk? Come on.
What's better than that?
Well, maybe a thing or two.
At 38, John Lester. 39, Giancarlo Stanton. What do you think about the return of Giancarlo Stanton?
I mean, he went much earlier in the mock draft, by the way. I think he went in the 20s. I know he's already gone. How many games are you going to play? I mean, what's your over-under on Giancarlo Stanton? You know the injury is coming. It generally does every year. He went 24. I mean, if he plays 140 games, if I draft Giancarlo Stanton, I would kill for 140 games. One DL stint, right? What's he going to hit, 40 home runs? You know, he's a human highlight reel. I mean, it's fun to watch him hit home runs. It just is, you know. So I'd like to have him, Tony. I know one of my keeper leagues, deep keeper leagues, I can keep for $40. I'm not going to do that. The inflation says he's worth it, but I'm still going to throw him back there for different reasons. But when I have guys, because if I have somebody like Giancarlo Stanton, especially for a third round, a fourth round pick in this league, it means how many other guys can I have just like him? You know, I don't like having too many guys on my team who I know are going to get hurt. And that's a problem because sooner or later I'm going to have to replace them. And if you're in a deeper league, you're not going to have that kind of depth to be able to do it. It's going to hurt you eventually. I don't like playing the hope game. I hope he stays healthy this season. If he doesn't stay, if you know, 3-4 seasons in a row he gets hurt, or every season he gets hurt, then guess what? He's going to get hurt, and when he does, that's your fault, because you knew that was coming.
Would you play the Hope solo game?
Well, listen, she may beat the crap out of me. She seems to be an angry woman, but that doesn't mean she's not unattractive.
No, she isn't. And some guys like getting beat up a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. I said it would be different. She could definitely do some damage here. She's in a... I don't know why, but she's angry.
Yeah, you never get it. Like, I know I don't get sometimes these people. At number 40 is interesting, Yu Darvish. Coming back last year, the strikeouts were there. He was a little wild. The ERA was high. But his second year back, I like him a lot, and he'd be the guy I'd be targeting in drafts.
I agree with you. Same reason you just said it. Second year back from the injury. That's always the year that they're, you know, they're used to it now. They're completely recovered 100%. He's had another off season to work on everything he needs to work on. I am much higher on you this season than I was last. I have no problem going to the well with him.
You. That's an easy name to say, right? You.
It's one syllable. You don't need a nickname there. It's fantastic.
No. Yeah, you are so beautiful.
I was thinking, who are you?
Oh, who are you? That's the Who. That's Roger Daltrey.
That is Roger Daltrey and Pete Townsend, baby. One of my favorite bands.
Yeah, who are you? What's your favorite Who song?
That's the one.
Mine's Bob O'Reilly.
Can't go wrong with that either. I mean, there's so many good Who songs, but who are you? Yeah, especially when they get that little crescendo and they get quiet for a while, they pick it up again. Love that.
You love it. I love it. When we come back, we'll give you our predictions for today in the National Football League. You'll listen to the Roto Experts in the Morning. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned for our dramatic conclusion. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning. It's George Kurtz and Tony Cicada here on the weekend where we send four teams left in the National Football League. George, the NFL talked about adding playoff teams to the mix. I'm not a fan of that.
Me either. You know, people know I love the NHL, but they have 16 of 30 teams make the playoffs. That's ridiculous. The NFL is at 12 of 32 right now. Really, do we need to add more? What would you do with the buys then? You're going to add one more, so what, only the top team now gets a buy, not the top two? I think the way they have it is perfect. I wouldn't change it.
I wouldn't change a damn thing. No, 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 no. George Kurtz, the Pittsburgh Steelers taking the Kansas City Chiefs in the snowy, cold, frozen in Kansas City. They are 1-point favorites. The over and under as at 44.5. Who does George Kurtz call victorious in this one?
Well, I'm taking the under. All right. I think the game's going to go on barely under. I think Vegas has it pretty close here. I said early in the week, Tony, I was all about KC, mainly because of the numbers. You know, my head was telling me it's KC. Pittsburgh can't play on the road. They can't do this, can't do that. But as the week went on, I just went better team here. I think Pittsburgh's the better team. I'm going to go Pittsburgh by a field goal, 23-20.
I agree with you, and I have gone the opposite, though. I think Pittsburgh's a better team, but I'm a little concerned about if the weather's bad, does it really bother the passing game of the Pittsburgh Steelers, which I think is great, and then excel the Kansas City running game, which Pittsburgh's run defense has had problems, including allowing 200-plus yards to Jay Ajayi earlier in the season. They're the sixth-worst team against the run in the National Football League. That's my concern there. But I think the Pittsburgh Steelers just have way more talent than Kansas City Chiefs.
Agreed. I think the analysis is right there. I think the weather certainly hurts Pittsburgh more than KC. I think KC's probably rooting for KC's probably upset that the NFL moved the game. You know, I think they would have rather played at 1 o'clock in the ice.
That whole moving the game thing, it made no sense to me. I mean, I have no idea what the hell's going on there. And then the nightcap is your Dallas Cowboys taking on the Green Bay Packers. They're a 5-point favorite to Dallas Cowboys and a 52 total. How does George Kurtz see this?
Well, it's not the nightcap anymore. Now it's your first game. Get you started for
that's
the day
true.
At 4:40.
Yes, that's true.
Listen, if Jordy Nelson was healthy, I was going to pick Green Bay. You know, once he went down, I think this hurts their offense. I think Dallas is at home. They're fully rested. I think this game is somewhat of a shootout. I'm going to go with the Cowboys here. I think it's going to be, I think I said 34-30 on old school fantasy, so I'll stick with that. 34-30 Cowboys going over.
I think it's going to be a tight game, too. And I think that Green Bay is going to pull it out in the end, I think. But it wouldn't shock me if this game goes either way. I think it's a virtual toss-up in this game. If I was wagering on this game, I would be taking the 5.5 points because I think it could be that close. And I really like this to go. I think it goes over the total too. I agree with you. I think that there'll be points scored in this contest. Both teams of far superior side of the ball is the offense.
They are. They both can score. Neither team has much of a defense there. So they're going to have some issues there, to put it nicely. I think points are going to be put on the board. I think Rodgers is going to score. I think for Dallas, they just need to survive probably the first quarter. You know, get those jitters out. Don't let Rodgers go up there. I think Green Bay scripts their first 15 plays, something like that. Survive that. You know, and then let's play the game here. Hopefully Dak doesn't make mistakes. Yeah, Ezekiel Elliott will be fine.
Ezekiel Elliott. He'll be running right at the Green Bay Packers, seeing if they want a little something, something. And, of course, great job this week by our guy, Pete. Pete, you're an amazing man. No snafus today.
Thank you. I tried my best, and it worked out. I appreciate it.
Do you think you just wanted it more?
You know, Tony, I come.
Does a great job.
Thank you. I come in every Saturday and Sunday saying, you know what, I'm going to make this the best show I can, and then I try my best on the board to make you guys sound even better than you already are.
See, that's great stuff. That's the right attitude. And George, it was good being back and working with George Kurtz again.
Tony, it's always fun working with you. I never know what I'm going to get. I think I got off light today.
See that? We were too busy. Now you go back to Cha-Cha and the bald-headed stooge.
Yeah, Cha-Cha, clear your beady little head.
We'll be seeing you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Eastern. Tony Cicada, I am out of here. George Kurtz tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern.